we are prone to lose sight of the, quote, hand of God in the little difficulties and perplexities which are of everyday occurrence, and to look only at second causes. In other words, if you see this thing, whatever it is being just someone else's irritability, mistake, lie, irresponsibility, whatever, if you look at those as second causes, that's a second cause, meaning it's not God that's allowing that, it's some second cause. Devil did it, they did it, so forth and so on. And most of the Puritans do not believe in any second causes. They believe that everything has a first cause, and that is the enabling will of God. From Grace Gems, and it's called The Secret of True Happiness. And I read it and I thought, wow, this is so exactly what we're living and talking about all the time. And I haven't read it yet. I just skim read it. I thought, I hope this will be encouraging to you. So this is by a gentleman named Harvey Newcomb. Oh, wow. He wrote a book called The Young Lady's Guide to the Harmonious Development of Christian Character, 1843. I may have to look into that for... So let me share this with you, sweetheart. The secret of true happiness lies in a cordial acquiescence. There's my word, baby. In the will of God. It is sweet to lie passive in His hand and know no will but His. Baby, that's what we're doing right now. How beautiful is that? Hence the reason you found this. God loves you, and you felt this grace the next day, remember? It's because you've acquiesced to the will of God, and it is sweet to your soul. He says it is sweet to lie passive in His hand and know no will but His. The doctrine of particular providence is precious to the Christian's heart. It enables him to see the hand of God in every event. I'm assuming the doctrine of particular providence is that God does particular things through providence to you. So, for example, you and I are seeing a lot of that, not just general providences, but particular, something that's particular to you, he says, is precious to the Christian's heart. It enables him to see the hand of God in every event. Hence, the sinfulness of a repining, discontented, unsubmissive temper. It is difficult to reconcile the habitual indulgence of such a sinful disposition with the existence of grace in the heart. So it's hard to have repining, discontent, and unsubmissive temper in the same heart and disposition as that of the grace in the heart. The first emotion of the newborn soul is submission to the will of God. Isn't that true? When we are born again, we get so excited and we want to do whatever God wants us to do. We are prone to lose sight of the, quote, hand of God in the little difficulties and perplexities which are of everyday occurrence, and to look only at second causes. In other words, if you see this thing, whatever it is being just someone else's irritability, mistake, lie, irresponsibility, whatever, if you look at those as second causes, that's a second cause, meaning it's not God that's allowing that, it's some second cause. Devil did it, they did it, so forth and so on. And most of the Puritans do not believe in any second causes. They believe that everything has a first cause, and that is the enabling will of God, right? So that nothing can touch you. A saw at 9:30 at night is not a second cause. It's not that is doing it. It's not that Satan is making him do it. It's God is allowing it. You see? We often do the same in more important matters, meaning we look at second causes. When we are insulted, or injured by others. We are disposed to murmur and complain and give vent to our indignation against the immediate causes of our distress, forgetting that these are only the, quote, instruments which God employs for the trial of our faith or of the correcting of our sins. Now think about this. Think about how when it gets out of shape or something difficult happens at the house and it strikes the things that you like to control, or the neighbor's going nuts on both sides of you, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you're where you are right now by God's permissive, sovereign, intentional will in your life. So we have to see all of these things. Everything is coming from God. Everyday occurrences are first caused directly from the permissible, intentional, constructive will of God in my life, not some secondary cause. So he's saying, when we are injured or insulted by others, we are disposed to murmur and complain and give vent to our indignation against the immediate causes of our distress, forgetting that these are only the instruments which God employs for the trial of our faith or the correcting of our sins, because we have sins, right? In this doctrine of the secret agency of divine providence, we have the strongest motive for a hearty and cheerful resignation, giving up to all the troubles and difficulties, trials and afflictions which come upon us in this life, whatever may be their immediate cause. We know that they are directed by our Heavenly Father, whose, quote, tender mercies are over all His works, and who does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. That's the third time some places quoted. Now, they don't include the scripture, but that's Lamentations 3:25, 3:20-something. I just quoted to you a couple of days ago. Whatever may be our afflictions, so long as we are out of hell, we are monuments of His mercy. So whatever, it's like 4:01 tonight. Since we have this ministry through God's mercy, we do not lose heart. Whatever may be our afflictions, so long as we are out of hell, we are monuments of His mercy, like we're statues standing here to show forth His mercy, because we're not in hell. You see, I mean, this is really incredibly deep what this guy's saying. If we are not in hell right now, we are a statue, a monument, a billboard of His mercy. Quote, why does a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. We are assured, quote, that all things work together for good to those who love God. I really want to increase my definition and my scope of what I say all things are. I really want us to do that, sweetheart, for us to really begin to see all the little things, the spilling of this, the dropping of this, the mess of this. These are all things that are working together for good, because we love God. The afflictions of this life are the faithful corrections of a kind and tender Father, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He receives. How consoling the reflection that all our sufferings are designed to mortify, and that means put to death, and subdue our corruptions, to wean us from the world and lead us to a more humble and constant sense of dependence upon God. Isn't this beautiful? Now, this is just everything that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. How consoling of a reflection to know that all our sufferings are designed to mortify and subdue our corruptions. All those things that irritate us, the saws at night, the dropped sour cream on the carpet, the splatter of the stuff on the wall, the this phone call, the that email, all these are designed to mortify and subdue our corruptions. And Jesus Christ, I ask You, God, that You would give us more grace to help us to understand this and participate with Your grace in this, that it in fact does mortify and subdue our corruptions. that it does in fact wean us from the world and lead us to a more humble and constant sense of dependence upon you, O God. How ungrateful for a child of God to repine at the dealings of such a tender and faithful Father. The word repine means to fret. It's kind of interesting that it's like pining. It's the same thing, or being fretful and desirous, painful suffering and waiting. How ungrateful for a child of God to fret means to be overly anxious at the dealings of such a tender and faithful Father. Yeah, baby, that's why we have to constantly be careful to repent when we get these bad attitudes that we get. God will give us all that he sees is best for us. And surely we ought to be satisfied with this. For he who sees the end from the beginning must know much better than we what is for our good. It is our duty to maintain and contend a cheerful spirit in every situation of life. Wow. Shows me I have to go a long way. If God directs all our ways and has promised to give us just what he sees we need, we surely ought to rest satisfied with what we have. For we know it is just what the Lord in his infinite wisdom and unbounded goodness sees fit to give us. This is such a beautiful reading. It's very short. The secret of all true happiness. Acquiescing to God's will. Recognizing there is no second cause. That every little difficulty and affliction that comes to us is from the hand of God for our submission and further character development and disciplining. God, how we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ, please keep us in your grace, Lord. Please help us, Father God, to obey your will in this increasingly dark world. And please help us to possess the kingdom of God violently. And please grant that we may have eyes to see that we must do our part, that we must strive to enter into the narrow gate. God, please grant us the wisdom, Father, to use our time wisely, to study what is most appropriate, to be focused on what we need to be focused on, to continue to trust you, to put us together, and to not be overwhelmed, but to keep our Christianity as simple as you'll allow us to keep it, to do exactly what you ask us to do, and nothing more, nothing less. Father, that you would put us together. Oh, Jesus Christ, that you would have mercy upon us, Lord. We wait in hope for you to deliver us. We wait in hope for you, Father, with great expectation, having heard our perhaps hundreds and hundreds of prayers. Hundreds of prayers we've put up to you, Father. Thanking you, waiting upon you, asking for your deliverance. Jesus, we wait for your deliverance and we thank you for it. Thank you for husband and wife, God, who loves you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our incredible love for each other. Thank you for our children who are staying out of trouble. And thank you, God, that you're going to bless them to know each other, Lord, and know you more. And oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks. And Father, we thank you for your light, the light of Christ, which burns in our heart. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who sustains us, God, and blesses us. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for protecting us from Satan. And we thank you for constantly correcting us and bringing afflictions to us, Lord, that are exactly what we need in order to do your will. And Father, we thank you for your many mercies to us, God, and all the things you've blessed us with in our life, our finances and our warm homes and cold homes and whatever it is we have. And sometimes, you know, Lord, it's a little tough for Lisa and right now, but God, we just thank you that they have that versus what they could have, what other people have. And we thank you for hot showers, and we thank you for warm food, and we thank you for food in our bellies and covers at night and fans to keep our wind moving, and we thank you for clean water, and we thank you, Father, for beautiful eyes to see and a nose to smell and hands to touch and ears to hear. And oh, Father, we just thank you for our health. We're all relatively in good health. Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you for all of your amazing blessings to us, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. This world is so evil, Lord, and it's just so dark. And Father, please help us to stay strong and keep our minds set upon you and keep our hearts just simple. And thank you for today's work, and bless me tomorrow to do more good work, Lord. And bless Lisa tomorrow, Father, with whatever time they have together in the house or outside. And Father, if it would be your will and you would be willing, you could remove some of the clouds so they could get out and walk around and have some time with the girls and do some fun things. Lord, I thank you for watching over and protecting them. And I thank you for protecting Lisa, my wife's heart, Lord, while she's gone. Thank you so much for all your incredible blessings upon us. And thank you for teaching us your word. And thank you for using us to be a blessing to other people. And thank you for making us fruitful in the kingdom of God. And thank you, Father God, for helping us to be strong to do your will and your word and protecting us from Satan and loving us like you do and granting us the grace to feel it, Lord. We just praise you. Thank you, Father, for being such a beautiful God. Thank you for taking care of us and loving us. How we love you. How we praise you, our God. How we thank you, our King. You are everything to us, Lord. We just praise you. Praise you, God, for being so good. Thank you, Father, for our marriage. Thank you for our incredible relationship. Thank you for helping us to love one another, God, and to be respectful to one another and to appreciate one another and to just be so blessed with one another. And thank you for the incredible protection from the storms and the sanctuary you're going to give us. And thank you for making us wait as long as you have. And God, thank you for this amazing marriage, Lord. Thank you. God, put us together, Father. Have mercy on us, Lord, and put us together in the name of Jesus Christ that we may celebrate and praise your name and enjoy the rest and the fruitfulness that will come from this marriage relationship and that I can enjoy some extra energy, Father, to work and serve you, God, that my spirit and heart will be refreshed and we can love one another and rejoice in the goodness of what you have done here on earth, Father, as a token of the beautiful glory and all the redemption and all the lifting up and the beautiful salvation you're bringing to us in the end as we go to heaven. Oh, Jesus, thank you for my wife. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done to she and I to prepare us to love each other like this. And thank you, Father, for helping us to love you every day and be thankful of you every day and be mindful of you every day. And God, I just pray, please, God, keep us mindful. Don't let us forget you in this world. Don't let us forget you, Father, by being distracted by things that are worthless. Help us always to keep you in the forefront of our mind, to be thinking about you and measuring everything that we encounter in our daily lives through you, God. Help us. We want to be holy and sanctified and set apart and continually cleansed from all of our sins, past, present, and future. Enabled, Father, to obey your word. Father God, granted insight and spiritual wisdom to hear you, Lord. Discernment to understand your ways in our life. God, grant us these beautiful fruits of the Spirit, Lord. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Help us to be loving and kind to you and to others and to each other, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you and we praise you, Almighty God. I just thank you, Father. Thank you for all this. You've blessed us so much. Thank you for getting me through today. And thank you for protecting my wife, Father. And thank you for showing us the 10-10, and we thank you for strengthening us and protecting us against evil attacks. And God, I pray that if anything difficult happens with Lisa, you'll remind her, Father God, to give thanks and just begin thanking for all the beautiful things that you've given to her, all the amazing mercies that we have in our life. Jesus, we love you. Lord, bless our sleep tonight. Bless me tonight with sanctified sleep, Lord, and sanctified dreams. I ask you, Jesus, to please, as I depend upon you, answer my prayers, O God, that I may not have foul dreams tonight, Lord, in any way, and that Lisa might also have a break, Father, if it be your will. Thank you. Father, I ask all these things in the holy, precious, almighty, omnipotent, amazing, sovereign name, Jesus Christ. Amen, we say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.